Community Connections, CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections, CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is 31st of July, 2023. You're listening to CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonkman. 31st of July already. Last day of the month, halfway through summer, in what is probably going to be the coldest summer of the rest of your life. We're going to be talking to prominent climate activist Megan Rattan in just a little bit. But not here as a climate activist. She'll be here talking about the Acorn Waterloo Region Tenants Union. But first, here's Onion Honey and Black Eyed Susie.
Coming back home with a pocket full of money, nobody around to call me honey. Make it drunk, I make it woozy, I wanna come home to Black Eyed Susie. Black Eyed Susie, Black Eyed Susie.
We back together, 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 though we back together, together.
That was Vifo, who was in our studio last week for All the Animals Save the World. Vifo's a musician and animal rights activist, had a concert this past Saturday. Must ask him how that went. Sadly, I was unable to attend. Before that, we listened to Black Eyed Susie by Onion Honey. Megan Rutan is around the building looking for an entrance to come in, so we'll be speaking with her very shortly. In the meantime, let's listen to some Groove. This is Unknown Monster.
G-U-R-W-E.
That's Groove. That was last track was Shake the House. Before that, Try and Catch Me Next Time. And a very short track was Unknown Monster. We have Megan Rutan in the studio from Acorn, Waterloo Region Tenants Union. Welcome to CKMS Community Connections.
Thank you.
You could make it in here.
I got here eventually. I got a little bit lost. And thank you for pronouncing my last name right. That never happens.
Really?
Yeah, it's either Rutan or Rutten.
Yeah. I was hoping not to get it wrong.
No, you did it good.
Okay, let's get started on ACORN. What is ACORN?
ACORN is the Association for Community Organizations for Reform Now. We are a low to moderate income tenants union, or a union generally, because we are currently running a tenants union in Waterloo Region, but we also take on any issues that our union members want to take on. Like, so a recent thing that ACORN did is we got payday loans.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that you have to pay back, the interest rates, they have gone down.
Oh, have
they? Yeah, so they do a lot of really great organizing over a lot of things that affect moderate to low-income communities.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we do right now. What we're doing in Waterloo Region is we are forming a tenants union,
right,
so that we can resist renters and rent evictions and demo evictions.
And that's been rampant throughout Waterloo Region, hasn't it?
Yes. Well, I'm getting evicted for a demolishment for a parking lot, actually. So that is not my favorite thing. Henry Walser Funeral Homes is bought up our block, and they are evicting us for a parking lot, but we're still resisting it. So
Henry Walser, the organization, is your landlord.
He is my landlord. He is technically a corporation.
Okay.
He owns a few buildings around the region. And yeah, he lives right down the street from me, and he wants to turn my whole house into a parking lot, which is a climate organizer as well. Really hurts, quite honestly. It's not fun.
Yeah, no. And it's not just you being affected by this. There's a range of houses there, isn't there?
Yes. So our upstairs neighbor left willingly. He gave them a small pittance of money. And my other neighbor on the other side, he's been evicted. He's decided not to demolish the one building with three units in it, four units actually, but there's still two whole buildings, multi-unit houses that are being demolished for a parking lot.
Right. How rampant is it? I mean, I know some other people who have been displaced through rent evictions. So this has been happening for, what, 3-4 years, maybe longer?
Oh, it's happening. He bought our house in 2017.
Oh.
And he's been doing it. He's been escorting people off the property, saying he has permission to demolish for years now.
His plan has been this for 6 years or longer.
He says that we were told in 2021 that we were not going to be demolished, and he changed his mind in 2022. So, it's a really big moment of uncertainty for us, but we are still, I can't say too much because we're still in the process of dealing with it. Yeah, it's hard. It's especially hard for people who don't have the resources or know people and how to resist it or what their rights are.
Is there litigation? Are there processes in place to try and stop this from happening?
Well, the City of Kitchener did approve the rezone, but there's a lot more hurdles for him than he thinks there are, and I can't say too much about it.
Okay.
But I do know what my rights are, and I do know that it's not as simple as he might seem to think it is.
Okay. And is Acorn helping you in this?
Well, this sort of predates Acorn.
How would Acorn have dealt with this had it been around at the time?
They would have caused a lot more noise. They would have given people the resources and the information to resist it, so they wouldn't say, my landlord, this is what he did. He came to us and said, well, I have permission to demolish your building, so you have to leave. And what has been happening this whole time is people just leave because they don't know that he's not being honest.
Right.
They don't know what the city permissions are. They don't know what the demolition permissions are. And so a lot of the time, landlords, in general, will tell people things that either they know are untrue or that they don't even realize are untrue. And people are afraid because housing is so precarious.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get a bad reference. It's a huge, looming, awful thing. So they just listen because it's easier to just do what you've been asked to do.
Yeah.
So that's really hard. What would happen is we teach people their rights. We also help them organize around it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of nonviolent direct action. For example, in London not long ago, people just showed up to protest in front of people's building in London. And here recently, we've been organizing around 267 Trainer, whose landlord, Mike Beer, has been doing some really shady things to his tenants.
What's happening there?
So I do know that there's going to be a hearing there. My friend Maribel is in the building, and they're organizing to resist it. And I can't say too much about that legally.
But what action is Acorn taking? What events are happening from Acorn's perspective?
So we had a rally. Name and shame is one of the really big things that we do. We make sure people know who Mike Beer is. We rally. People show up. And the more that we can shame a landlord, the more that we can actually shine a light on things, the harder it is for them to do it. The more we shine light on things, the harder it is for people to evict people, not just because we're shining a light on it, because we're naming names.
Yes.
Because a lot of this stuff gets done under shade, under like a cover of darkness, more or less, because corporations run by numbers, right? So Mike Beer, people didn't know who Mike Beer was. Tenants don't know who Mike Beer is. We are naming Mike Beer. And so it's going to be really hard for him to not only evict people will be paying attention to what he's doing, but also his new tenants will know what he's doing, right?
Right.
There's a lot of public shaming involved, as with most mass protests, right?
So these tenancy corporations, these landlord corporations, are they named after individuals? Because there's Henry Walser and Mike Beer now.
Mike Beer, his tenants didn't know who he was for a long time, and neither did we. He was under a corporation. They go through property management companies. And we didn't know who he was or what he was planning on doing. We were told by our previous landlady that he planned on having us for several years. It was a good investment. It wasn't until, in my case, that the landscape guy who was at our house told us who our landlord was. And we figured it was probably him, but we didn't know for sure.
Okay.
So they get by not only through ignorance and people not knowing any better.
I'm used to tenancy companies being large corporations like Kneff out by Mississauga
There's
Way
a lot,
or Effort Trust in Hamilton. Does Hamilton have an Acorn chapter?
Hamilton does. They've been working on this rent eviction bylaw for a long time now. It's been a couple of years. And they almost passed it a couple of years ago, but there were some technicalities, and they're about to pass one where it's going to make it illegal to evict people for renovations.
Okay.
And
so,
we're going to pass one here as well, I'm hoping.
So all these rent eviction bylaws surrounding that, it's all municipal. So it could vary from one municipality to another.
It could. There are some federal and provincial laws, and you know, my ACORN organizers in Ottawa and London would be happy to do the rundown on that, because that's what they helped me with, keep all that stuff in my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do know that there's a lot that locally we can do. And so especially the region of Waterloo, their focus is housing. They are, one of their responsibilities is to build housing and to like manage housing, more so than the individual cities.
Right. And so can they make laws that prevent people from buying and selling property?
One of the big asks, actually, we're asking for federally. We just had a National Day of Action around the financialization of housing.
Mm-hmm.
So what that is there's a national review for housing, a National Housing Committee. ACORN as a whole federally is asking is for, there will be laws so that the first right of refusal goes to housing organizations, co-ops, other businesses that specifically want to build affordable housing, as opposed to these big corporate landlords who do a lot of this. So the corporations, because they have the more money, the more resources, and housing is so expensive, they will buy up all of the properties.
Okay, and this is unbuilt properties that are still greenfield or otherwise?
Built ones already, ones that go up for sale, like larger multi-unit residences, yes.
Okay. How big is Waterloo Region at ACORN?
We have about 500 associate members.
Oh, really?
What we want right now, though, is that what we need is we need to build a union. So we, so there's a few different levels. And full members pay union dues because we're a union. That's how unions stay independent.
Right.
You know, it's $15 a month. But people who cannot afford that, and you know, a lot of the people who are affected by this, it's a low to moderate income union. So we understand that people can't afford that a month.
Especially when, you know, half or more of your income is already going towards rent.
Exactly. So we will show up for anybody whatsoever.
Okay.
And they are still our members. So we have probably 15 full members right now. So a lot of our summer is dedicated to a membership drive.
Okay.
And a lot, actually quite a few of our full paid members are people who are own homes, but they want to support housing justice.
Yeah.
So they pay it forward for other people who can't afford it.
Okay. So are they themselves members, or are they purchasing members for other tenants?
They're paying union dues to make sure that we're supported.
Okay.
Right. And again, we show up for anybody who needs help.
Right. ACORN started in Waterloo Region, about 3 months ago?
Yeah, it's about 3 months ago, just after the city of Kitchener gave Walser approval to rezone.
Uh-huh.
And coming out of that experience, my partner and I, you know, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I've been organizing. I mean, I've known you for years. And even though I organize, the only reason why I'm still in my house is because I know people and I could cause trouble around this situation.
Yeah.
So it really came out of us having contacted ACORN to talk about what our options were, but also knowing that we needed to help other people, because if we don't help each other, then we're, you know, it's not about individualism, rugged individualism. We have to help other people as well.
Right. How do other people that are in the same situation, how do they get a hold of ACORN to give them some assistance?
They could reach out to us at kw@acorncanada.org. They can email me. You can probably get a hold of me. But the primary email is to get a hold of us.
That's the one we publish on the show notes.
That is the one.
Yep, radiowaterloo.ca/CCC, and then scroll down to the episode list, and I'll have all the contact information for both ACORN Canada and Megan, so that if you've got your own tenancy problems, reach out and get some assistance.
Yeah, I am happy to help.
Yeah. Let's have a bit of music. We'll play some blues. How's that? This is Bean Blues Live by Nick Boardman, and we'll be back with Megan Rutan shortly.
Well, I felt what you said when you said our love was dead. So I went to where I called home. A lonesome mind shouldn't be alone. But it ain't just me. I've got my misery. You had a big old bottle of old Jimmy Beam. I've got the Beam Blues. I've walked holes in my shoes. I've got got the beam blues. What's a lonesome mind to do? A puff of smoke fogs my mind and takes me to another time when I wasn't lonesome blue. Lit up thinking of you. I need myself a saving grace to save me from this cold place. I've got the beam blues. I walked holes in my shoes. I've got the beam blues. What's a lonesome man to do?
By Nick Boardman. He was in the studio a little while ago. Sounds just as good recorded as he did live. Let's talk about the rental blues with Meg Rutan, who is a leader of Acorn Waterloo Region, the local tenants union. You've got a plan.
We have a plan. We have a 3-month plan to launch our full tenants union, renters union, in Waterloo Region. So we just started. We had a meeting on the 20th, and what it was is that we are planning a big action in September, and we are also planning to build our membership. So we're a union. We need people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we build collective power.
Yeah.
We stay independent by having union dues. Like I said, it's $15 a month. People are of homeowners. Anyone is welcome to join, not just renters. So we have that. And what we are doing on Thursday, August the 17th, we're going to be back at the Social Development Center, which is on Water Street, and we are going to be planning. We're having an organizing committee meeting that day. So our last meeting was we talk about what are we facing here in Waterloo Region.
Right.
Rent evictions, demo evictions, right? And we agreed to organize around that. So what we're doing at our next meeting on the 17th of August is we are planning. That is our planning meeting. And so we plan the action. We plan how we're going to help build membership, how we're going to get the word out. And then we're going to do it on September 14th. So, you know, it's like a staged, this is where we are, this is where we want to be, and this is where we're going. So we have a trajectory set up. But we're going to decide this together as a union, as a community.
Right, right. Are these live meetings or online?
They're hybrid.
Hybrid,
you know,
excellent.
Wearing masks, care about
yep.
COVID safety. So yes, hybrid for disability justice, is climate justice, is housing justice. So all of those things matter.
Exactly, exactly. Good. So this is happening in September, you say, this big rally?
I don't know what it's going to look like yet, because we're going to decide what it is altogether, but it's going to be in September, yes.
This is a Waterloo Region-based rally, not a national rally?
No, it is very specifically here to build our local chapter. So we want everyone out if you care at all about housing justice, and we really all should be, what we want here.
Right. How much support do you get from the national organization?
A lot, actually. Yeah? We have an organizer, Ashley, in Ottawa, and then we have Vonica. They are in London, and they're really, right now, because we have a few members, they're subsidizing us with their union dues, but we have a lot of support. They're really, really helpful, and, you know, I've been organizing for a while, and just having somebody who's there to put the documents together and, you know, Photoshop things and just give you those resources has been really, really helpful. So that's where your dues are going. It's to actually support directly.
Right.
Organizers here.
Like right. And when you've got that support, it comes out looking like flyers, information bulletins,
yes.
Mailing lists,
mailing
I suppose.
Mailing lists, yeah. Yes. Things like really tangible, obvious things. We get all, and we, you know, we are paying a local organization, the Social Development Center. We are paying them directly. They're one of our partners. And so we give them money every month, so we get to print there. So it's not right. an abstract thing. And, you know, we're very, nationally, the organization's very, you know, nuts and bolts. It's not, there's not a lot of organizational bloat there. All of that money goes right to organizers doing the work on the ground.
Right. When you've got this thing planned for September, where do you plan on holding something like that? Is that to be decided yet?
That is to be decided. We've been having rallies outside of 267 Trainer because I believe very much in focusing on the point of harm, but we want it to be more central because it's kind of out there.
Yeah.
So we
I'm sure there are other locations.
There are other locations, right. So, again, that's all to be decided. And people can show up, and you can actually plan what's to come. You can help us plan it.
Right. So all this action seems to be taking place in Kitchener. What's the situation like in Waterloo, which, you know, looks...
City of Waterloo?
Tonier, and you wouldn't think that there would be rent eviction issues in Waterloo. But yet, I know somebody who's gone through that.
Yeah, there are. I mean, if you look at the region as a whole, we have a serious epidemic of unsheltered people.
And yes.
They deserve housing. They deserve dignity. Our borders are pretty murky in Waterloo region, right? You know, you can say it's in Kitchener. Waterloo is a little shinier in places, but it definitely...
How about the rural townships?
Well, you mean, considering that that's where the Better Tent City is, I believe, they're out in the rural townships,
aren't they? They're just outside of the border of Kitchener-Waterloo,
I think. It's less of it's Waterloo. We very specifically called it Acorn-Waterloo region because we want to include everybody in the region, right? It's not just a Kitchener issue. Unfortunately, it's everywhere, and, you know, it's... We would love people from the townships to show up in support. It's a collective issue, right? We should care that our neighbors are unsheltered and are unhoused. They should have dignity in housing. And, you know, a lot of the people who are in encampments right now are people who have been evicted. They're not there by accident, right? Rent's absurd.
Yes.
I think we're just behind Toronto for expense and rent right now. We're in the top 10.
Well, I can imagine that,
it's a major thing. And unfortunately, housing has not kept up with people needing housing. And if it's a commodity... then you have no, and you're making money off of it. There's no reason to, you know, intervene, but we need that.
You used a phrase earlier, financialization of housing.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
It is basically, it's like treating housing as a commodity, right? These big corporations come in, they buy up all of the housing, and they make it less of a human right, and they make it about a commodity that they can charge more and more for based on the market.
So strictly a good to be bought and sold to make money.
Yeah.
It's no longer being treated as housing and shelter.
No, it's not. And that's why all these rent evictions and demo evictions are happening. It's because landlords see how much money they can actually garner from the rising prices. But, you know, interest rates are high as well. Rent does not have to be as expensive as it is. It absolutely does not. And, you know, even smaller homeowners that rent out, they can't keep up with it. They can't keep up with the interest rates, but these big corporations can. Right? And so this housing stock is leaving our community and being sold to big corporations who are not people in our community.
Okay. You often hear about purpose-built rental housing.
Yes.
Is any of that being built?
I don't think so. I mean, things like, you know, co-ops are not being built. We had a budget for it, but the city of Kitchener and the Waterloo region, they just haven't been building these sort of purpose-built houses.
We being the municipalities.
Yes, yes. The federal government, there's a whole list of MPs who are landlords, right? It's an entrenched interest group. A lot of these people are benefiting from the fact that housing costs are so high and rent is so high.
That's a conflict of interest, isn't it?
It is a conflict of interest. That's why Acorn wants to name and shame. We want to know, like, if you're making the laws around rentals, are you benefiting from those laws? But, you know, it's one of those things that kind of squeaks through. And I know, you know, people on municipal governments are landlords as well.
Yeah. I remember that when the LRT was being built. I know something like 3/4 of council members that were to vote on that had to recuse themselves because of property interests along the way. So if that's that pervasive, you know, you can probably imagine that.
It is.
3/4 of councillors, 3/4 of MPPs, 3/4 of MPs, all have some property interests.
Yeah, about 1/3 of Waterloo region are renters, right? And so that's not insignificant, but we are in the minority, and we are definitely not represented in any way that is helpful to us.
Is 1/3 a percentage of renters, is that a high or low compared to other municipalities?
I quite frankly wouldn't know. No? Yeah, I would think that is probably standard, but it's going to get, you know, we have a shrinking middle class, so people can't afford to buy houses anymore.
Yeah, I'll get polarization, right?
And if the corporations are all buying all the houses, nobody's going to have access to those houses or the buildings. And, you know, I mean, I'm also a climate organizer. We need dense housing.
Yes.
And, you know, so we can't be having landlords and other homeowners come in and say, well, you can't build that there because it's going to ruin my neighborhood. We need people in housing.
NIMBYism in that regard.
This
building is too high. It's going to put shade on my little postage stamp of a lawn.
Where you should be growing things anyways. Maybe if you had a garden. But, you know, in the climate crisis, maybe you want the shade.
Oh, yes.
We need dense housing everywhere, and we need to recognize where we are in relation to the rest of the world with regards to the climate crisis. And we are going to have a lot of climate refugees, which is, we should be accepting everybody here because we have benefited from the climate crisis exponentially more than other people have, people in the global north. So it is our moral responsibility to build housing and accept people here in large numbers.
I don't think that's seen that way by the people who would organize immigration quotas and...
Well, you know, I really live in the middle of the climate crisis and housing crisis because the reason why we're here is because of infrastructure in a lot of ways. And people chose the world that we live in right now. And if we don't acknowledge the core reasons why we have a climate crisis, we'll never get around it.
Yeah. This is probably pervasive in Canada, in the United States, possibly Europe. Europe will be suffering from this as well. I mean, it's all the same capitalist type of organization. What about other countries? I'm thinking South America, perhaps. Africa, India, China. What's the housing situation like there?
I mean, the big problem, it's going to be density, right? I think where a lot of those places have issues right now, and I'm not, you know, as globally versed in this as locally, that we're going to have a lot of climate refugees, right, from these places.
Yeah.
We're seeing it right now. We are in the middle of a giant heat wave, record heat across the ocean. And meanwhile, you have people crossing the Mediterranean, and they're just 2 months ago, maybe not even that many, the Coast Guard, whatever they call them, just watched people drown. If we're going to talk about housing, when we talk about housing, we talk about not just people who are born in Canada. We talk about newcomers, right, and refugees, and we have the moral obligation to accept them as well. I think that go ahead.
Can we do that? Can we accept people already if we haven't got the housing for them? I mean,
we have to do both.
Where are people going to live if we bring them in? Are we going to bring them in and have them sleep on the streets?
Well, I mean, that's what, until the police chase them off.
Yeah,
quite frankly, you know, because we need the housing. Unsheltered people aren't going to go away. The only real solution is housing, and everybody talks around housing and what we need to do about housing, when the answer is very simple. We need to build housing.
Yeah.
Right.
And who should do that? Is this to be left up to the private developers, or should municipalities take a hand in actually doing the building themselves?
Municipalities need to do it. Right now, again, because of the climate crisis, the change happens most in our communities, right? That is where we can affect the most direct change.
Yeah.
So the municipalities have to be doing it as well. The region, the cities have to be participating. It's not just their job to pass bylaws or rezones.
Because what I've seen from local councils is lots of talk,
and
then depending on developer partners, double quote unquote partners, to actually build the housing.
Yeah.
But these are still for-profit companies.
They are.
And, you know, the number of units that they've put up, you know, numbers in the low hundreds.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a need for
thousands of
homes.
Yeah.
Whether those are rental homes, apartment homes, or, you know, I'm still seeing sprawl being built in the outlying areas.
Yeah. I think the city of Kitchener, at least from what I've seen, they see the lack of leadership from the federal and the provincial government as a reason to not do it. This is an excuse.
Oh.
Not to be too salty, but they had the chance to vote against the rezone on my house, and they went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
And the city was on board. City of Kitchener was on board with the rezone from the beginning. We were given different answers from the City of Kitchener and the City Planner's Office.
Okay.
So that's very difficult. But, you know, we are not building remote to the housing that's commensurate to the climate crisis or the housing crisis.
No.
Absolutely not. This is why Acorn wants to stop the financialization of housing, is because we need co-ops. We need smaller community, not-for-profit housing.
I can see something like restricting the financialization of housing needs to be done at a federal level.
Yes.
The current provincial government, I don't think, is going to step up to do anything that reduces the capitalistic nature of housing.
No, I'm not even sure if the federal government wants to do it. But, you know, what else is there to do besides stand up for it, right, and to talk to people about this? Because the more that people know, our solution to homelessness and unsheltered people is to police them. And, you know, like, they don't care where they go as long as they're not inside. And that's disgusting. I'm going to be quite frank here. You know, if you don't want to build them houses, what do you want? What do you want to do for these people?
I think most people just want the unhoused people to disappear.
They want them to die. And that's disgusting. That is the logical through line. So unless you build housing for these people, they deserve dignified housing, regardless of whether they're addicted to anything or whatnot. They need housing. Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many people are in a borderline state? I mean, you're already looking at rent eviction. You've got to move. You know, there's no choice about it. But how many people are close to that? How many people out of those 30% of renters should be really worried about this kind of thing?
I think most of us, if not all of us, if nothing changes. I mean, I I'm better off than a lot of people, but it's still very difficult to find housing. Our rent's going to triple.
Yeah.
Right? And we have a young child, and it's I think most of us. Because where's the stop? Where's the end point? If it's going up so fast, so exponentially, there's no stopping it.
What's to stop it from happening again, you know, if you move to a new place?
There's nowhere to hide from it. There's nowhere to hide. Because it's everywhere, right? And people shouldn't have to live somewhere that's not their community just because it's expensive. You know, I don't want to leave the Waterloo region. This is my home. I know people here. This is where I organize. And I think that moving somewhere else is not the solution to people. It's even further displacement from your home, from your community. And then you go to a new place and there's no promise that you'll be okay there because you won't be. There is nowhere to hide from it. It's like hiding from climate change. You cannot hide from it. It's everywhere.
Isn't there a law that says that if a unit is to be renovated, then the landlord is obligated to provide, I don't know about swing accommodation during the renovation, but certainly after the renovation is complete, to give those tenants that have been displaced first right of rental in the new units.
Yes.
What happens with that law? Does that?
Well, sometimes the landlord will move new tenants in anyways. This happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the old tenant will try to come back, but there's already somebody else there. So it's another eviction that they have to go through. There's a lot of winning by attrition, quite frankly. You know, landlord will just do something and people don't want to fight it because they don't know how to fight it because they're not sure if they can.
A lot of people are at capacity, you know. They're already working two or more jobs to make the rent that they're about to be evicted from.
Exactly.
And so people don't have the capacity, the spoons, if you will, additional spoons to fight the landlord.
The only reason I had the spoons is because I've been working at this in the community for as long as I have. And that is why we've launched Acorn here, is because we can help you. We have resources. We have connections. We have overhead to help people do this.
How did Acorn get into Waterloo Region? I mean, there wasn't one 4 months ago, and now there is.
Well, there is, because a few of us decided there was going to be. We started making contacts with the national organizers. We had members. People already were dues-paying members.
Through other chapters.
We had a mailing list already. So we just had to sort of declare this is what we're doing. It takes people actually doing it. And I had some really great people supporting me, like Sam Nabe and Brooklyn Wallace. I mean, my partner Cameron, you know, he's deep into the housing organizing. The poor man watched me or climate organize for years, and now he's doing it himself too. We have our son's a little bit older and can manage better, and it's just like, well, this is what it's like, so.
Yeah, it's a full-time job. Any one of those activism, you know, thrusts is a full-time job. The climate, the political activity, the housing now. You know, you're in triple deep there.
I'm exhausted. But the good thing is that they're all connected, so I can multi-solve at the same time. And that's the thing about the climate change is that it's terrifying and horrible. And the housing crisis is, we solve one of those things, another thing will fall into place. And it's all systemic. It's all brought together. So, but I am exhausted.
Yeah, I
exhausted mom organizer.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. Let you relax for, 3 minutes and 29 seconds.
Good.
We'll listen to some Fog Blues and Brass. This is called Who's Gonna Suffer, which is an appropriate title, even if the song has nothing to do with housing.
I tell you, I got a girl, you know the type. She's got it good, but she loves to gripe. When things go wrong, it's her right to make me pay all day, all night. Rim. So,
who's gonna suffer
when I get the bill?
Who's gonna suffer?
I'm sure I will.
Who's gonna suffer?
It was her mistake.
Who's gonna suffer?
But the blame I take now. Who's gonna suffer? Me, I guarantee. You see, if I didn't buy the car, there'd be no bill to pay. We had this due, so we went to the mall. She tried on a dress, three sizes too small. She asked me what I thought.
in the size since about grade 8.
So?
Who's gonna suffer? Did you bust a stitch?
Who's gonna suffer?
You're just gonna rip.
Who's gonna suffer?
It was her mistake.
Who's gonna suffer?
But the blame I take now.
Who's gonna suffer?
Me, I guarantee. Now I'm on the hook, cause I said yes to the dress.
The Fog Blues and Brass Band called Who's Gonna Suffer. Got Megan Rutan in the studio from Acorn Waterloo Region,
That's right.
Tenants Union. If people want to get involved.
They do.
People do want to get involved, but I know nothing about union organizing, tenants issues. How can I possibly be useful to you?
Well, absolutely. There's so much you can do. You know, door knocking, postering, getting the word out. Word of mouth is really huge, even if you're not a dues-paying member, although we would love to have dues-paying members. So we have another big organizing committee meeting on this August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is welcome. It's going to be at the Social Development Center on Water Street. You can show up. We will decide what our big action in September is going to be. We will train you on ACORN protocols for door knocking, for other local advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have ongoing training with national organizers. Show up and we will decide what it is we're going to do. Like we are building this vision together of what we want housing to look like in Waterloo Region and how we're going to support each other as a community.
What does this door knocking look like? Whose doors do you knock on?
Well, we have data. A lovely friend of mine, Craig, he went through and he found where the lower income or where the big corporate landlords are, where the newcomers have been living. You know, where is the density of housing that we need people on board? Where are the people who are vulnerable? So we do have data on that. And we go large multi-unit buildings are really what we're looking at because they're the ones that are owned by corporate landlords.
And so you're going to the tenants to let them know that help is available?
Yes, that help is available. We want to empower them in order, you know, to fight for their own rights because we do have rights. We don't have enough rights. So we want to build our rights. But the people do have rights and we want to be able to make sure that they know that and help them know that there's people supporting them.
Right. So there's door knocking. You said some other.
There's online events, but there's the training for door knocking, postering, a lot of postering, which is not terribly exciting, right? A training for outreach. I did a national call day where we called MPPs from the Ford government, and they were not very friendly. But how do you reach out to your local, you know, leaders, your municipal leaders, your provincial and national leaders, federal?
Has Acorn WR reached out to the local MPPs yet?
Yes. So right now I'm actually talking to both Debbie Chapman, and I know they're not elected yet, but and Ashlyn Clancy. They're very supportive, both of them. I've talked to Mike Morris. He's very supportive, right? Laura Melinda was very supportive. I haven't really heard very much from any of the other parties, but there's definite support for housing issues in our region.
Okay, and it's definitely on all the parties' platforms. You know, they're
all making
the right noises.
They have to do more than noises. Activism works. Organizing works. You know, they passed a rent eviction bylaw. Acorn did in New Westminster not that long ago, right? Hamilton's about to pass his own rent eviction bylaw.
Okay.
So it does work, but you got to make a lot of noise and you got to be really inconvenient. Whenever somebody complains that a protest is inconvenient, I'm like,
That's the point, isn't it?
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. Not having a home is very inconvenient. Being harassed by your landlord is very inconvenient.
Yeah.
Who gets to be inconvenienced? So, you know, and if we don't help each other, then there's no getting out of anything that we're into right now alone.
Right. I'm looking at the website here, which is acorncanada.org.
Yes.
And it has some information about the Waterloo Region Acorn Chapter.
Yes.
That would be us. Including email address, kw@acorncanada.org.
Yes.
And then a little bit of new stuff, you know. Maybe the radio station will get a spot on there.
Well, we've been talking to CKMS a lot. You folks have been really supportive of us, and we really appreciate it. So
yeah. Had a spot on the news a few weeks back. So
yeah, I just talked to Trish too. So
okay, yeah. Trish is one of our journalists.
Yeah. So you're very, very supportive.
Good.
But we've been busy. We've only been doing this since May. I got laid off in April, too, so that was fun.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. It rains, of course. But I've been very busy, and, you know, it's been May, June, July. You know, we've had a lot of actions, considering we've got a lot of notice. We've got a lot of attention. Right now, what we're asking is for people to come out and join us.
So you've had the monthly meetings.
Yes.
You've had at least two rallies that I know about.
We've had two rallies. Yep. And then we've also had the committee meeting as well. And, you know, we do petitioning. I'll teach you how to petition, go to the market. We've been at the market.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be at the Labor Day picnic. We are going to be at, good. Labor Council is very supportive of us as well.
Good.
We've been at Enough is Enough.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We were there as well. So we are showing up, and we're making ourselves known, and we're building those connections, right? And we can help you, and we can make sure that you know what your rights are. And we have connections with Waterloo Regional Community Legal Services as well.
Good.
Right?
Good.
So along with the eviction prevention at the Social Development Center, we can help you know your rights, and we can help you find people who also know who know your rights, right, and support you in that.
Right. Good. Yeah. Sort of answered all my questions for me.
Good. I aim to.
Who else do you know that is being directly affected, is actually being evicted? Are they members of ACORN? Are they helping you out as well?
I've kind of become the housing lightning rod regionally, and I didn't mean for that to happen, but I'm a loudmouth. So Maribel, she lives at Trainer, and she's one of the local leaders. She's a firecracker, and she's great. So she's been helping. She's one of the core members of Waterloo Region Acorn. Maribel, and she's been in the record. So she's had a whole spread in the record. And she's done actually really amazing stuff supporting her neighbors as well. She organized her neighbors independently and then came to us for help. Not long after we formed, so
that's the sort of attention that you need.
Yeah, no, and that's what you got to do. You got to talk to your neighbors. You got to organize your neighbors, and she's fantastic.
Right. A little bit off to the side here. What about all the construction that's happening? Both in Kitchener and Waterloo. It's all condominiums, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess what we need is actually affordable housing that's accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's one thing. I know there's arguments from people saying that we need a certain amount of higher income tenants so that the neighborhood can have an influx of money. But, if you only have 15% of affordable housing units, no. They're being demolished at a far faster rate than you're building them, and that's not going to stop.
Gentrification.
Exactly. Yeah. That's not what's going to save people. It's not going to save their home. And worrying about gentrification is not NIMBYism. It's worrying about having people living in units that really high-priced units and pushing people out. It's not the same thing. And we need to build housing. That's one of the only solutions.
Take you, for example. You're not going to be moving into a $3,000 a month condominium.
No. I mean, my partner and I are millennials. We missed the housing market. We just missed it. And, we were students for too long. We're going to be renters probably for the rest of our lives. And I think that there are a lot of other ways to think of housing that is not just home ownership or a condo ownership. How do we live together communally, densely, so that we can be good to each other and to the planet? It's really important.
Being a condo owner is no picnic either. The condos have all the difficulties of home ownership, as well as the rental market, because there's a lot of constrictions that condominium owners are put under. No Christmas decorations on your garage door, for example.
It's a big homeowners association situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's gross. I don't know. I have a big garden I don't bother to weed because the bugs love it, so they really hate me.
Got a nice bug-friendly yard myself.
Exactly. So, we need bugs to live, and we need houses to live, too. Yeah. So I think I like both.
Yeah. So those homeowner associations that you mentioned,
Those
are not at all like tenants' unions.
No, they are not. We will not police you. We are here to support you. You can have Christmas lights on in June. I don't care. I don't care. We are 100% here to make sure that you are being treated with dignity and that you're empowered to know your rights. Because you don't need to be bullied. Just because somebody has more money than you doesn't mean they can bully you.
So this is lifting up instead of pressing down.
Exactly. Yeah. No, solidarity always.
Exactly. So one more time around for the social media stuff.
Okay.
Is Acorn Waterloo Region on the social medias?
We are on Facebook. I'm not going to mention that site that's going down because of the horrible man. We do not have one of those, at least, but we do have an email. I'm not a big Facebook user personally, no. But that's where people find a lot of tenants union. There's a big website provincially for Ontario rent tenants and landlords, but we do have a Facebook group. We do have Instagram, KW Acorn, okay. Instagram. We do post a lot on there. Okay. That's where you'll find us.
On the Fediverse?
Yes. I mean, there's Project Mushroom, which is something that I am a part of. And
right. Can you quickly tell me about that?
Oh, well, my former boss got a lot of money from GoFundMe, or Kickstarter, and then he abandoned it and laid me off.
Oh.
We are still supporting it.
Mushroom was an organization that...
Well, he was a meteorologist, and he had a newsletter company, and then he decided he wanted to be a social media mogul, and then it crashed and burned. Well, he couldn't monetize people the way he wanted to, because I was hired to help organize and people on the ground.
Okay. I thought it was a social justice organization to bring together all the climate warriors, all the indigenous rights advocates.
You couldn't make money
housing.
Off of it, though.
Well, no, because these people have no money.
This is what I told them. Like, you couldn't make money off of it, and so then he dumped it, and I got laid off.
So Mushroom is no longer...
It's still there. No, it absolutely is. Spore and Project Mushroom are still there. We're still supporting it. Me, Sam Navy, Craig Sloss, and my lovely friend Francis, I can't remember his last name, from Montreal, a friend Francis, it's still going. People are still welcome to show up there in the Fediverse on Mastodon.
I will definitely have those links, if there are any, for Spore Social.
Yeah.
On the show notes.
Yeah.
And then get all your contact information as well. Go to the KW@acorncanada.org.
Yeah. We are very responsive. If it's not me, it's Ashley from Ottawa.
That's the main chapter, the nationwide.
That's the organizer who's supporting us, Ashley in Ottawa, in Wanaka in London. So they are helping to start a chapter.
All right. I think we have just about reached the end of our hour.
Minus me getting lost in a spooky building.
You've covered a lot of material there.
Yeah, I talk fast.
We'll definitely have those things on the show notes.
That's great.
Along with the video and the podcast. And I think I want to have you back in after the rally in September.
That'd be great.
And hear about how things go.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully get some more people helped out.
Yes.
If they've got rental difficulties.
Everybody can hold their own corner of the sky and we can do this together. I fully believe that. Otherwise, I'd be sitting on my couch eating... I would not be doing this. It does work.
Exactly. All right. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections from Radio Waterloo. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo and produced at the studios of CKMS FM. We've had in the studio today Megan Rutan from Acorn Waterloo Region. Thank you so much for coming in. I'm sorry about getting lost.
I'm sorry I got lost.
CKMS Community Connections is produced at Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producer is Jeff Stager. CKMS Community Connections airs every Monday at 11 o'clock and alternate Fridays at 3 p.m. Talk to you again next week.